We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu is Trey Mashkin. Dude, if you thought discussions over Wiseman, Kuminga, and the Warriors 2 timeline conversation was a little much, all I'm going to say is football takes it next level.
You know, the thing about football is it's national. And I feel like I just the Warriors, the 2 timeline stuff never was a national topic. It never was.
No, it was a local perspective. It was a local fan base. Nationally,
exactly. Yeah. The angst was local. Nationally, it was, well, the Warriors are, you know, they just need Klay Thompson to come back. Maybe they'll be good, maybe not, right? They've already got their stuff. With the Niners, and especially with football and quarterbacks, it's my God. It's every hour. Mike Martz had a take? I haven't heard of Mike Martz's name in like 10 years. Who is that guy?
He's right. Release looks slow to me.
Like that guy coached football 10 years ago. What does he know about football today? And we got to hear him talk. It's just my God. But hey, that's the price you pay for the most popular sport in America, right? It's just no matter who it is, it's just going to be nonstop takes from everybody involved. So.
Just the takes economy is loving the Niners quarterback situation. You know, you got Jimmy sitting there, like literally can do nothing. Just the fact that he exists to take. Anyway, we're absolutely not talking about that. So if you came here for that episode, I have 50 to 100 podcasts to refer you to, but this won't be that one. So, hey, Andy, we just rewatched Klay Thompson getting 60 points in 3 quarters. That Klay Thompson, pretty good.
I think it's pretty fitting that the Warriors fans chose to watch this game with just a few weeks left in the training camp. And I think there's so many questions that we have going into this year's training camp. I think not bad questions, but I think one of the things that I'm most looking forward to is how Klay Thompson looks. Coming into his second season after his 2 severe injuries. Because you and I agree, and we can all say that Klay Thompson was not 100% last season. He gutted out the regular season. He gutted out the postseason, up and down. But he got through all of that, and he was the guy that played the most minutes in the postseason. And so he ended the season strong. But to me, Sam, it feels like that tonight we watch this game, and you're just sitting here, and you're like, what if Klay is that guy again? And I don't think that's too far-fetched.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on the basis of, you know, I thought what Klay did off of injury exceeded my expectations. He was better last year than I would have thought he would have been given how much time he had off. But then you watch one of these vintage 2016 or 2017 games, which we've been doing on Playback the past few weeks, and you remember just how special he was. And you remember, you know, as good as he as good as he was gutting it out through the playoffs, like there's clearly another level of Klay Thompson they can get to. And I think that's one of the more interesting storylines, because you follow him. First off, by the way, can we give a shout out to Klay? Like, doing the title celebration on social media better than anyone.
A1. By far the best on the team.
Not really engaging. Just like every now and then we'll drop a story where he's like, haha, I'm a champion and you're not. And then it's like a picture of him somewhere doing something really cool. Like, that's how it's supposed to be done.
It's genuine, right? I think it's real. It's who he is. He's not bullshitting. You know, the Steph stuff it's great, but you know, Steph is always he's too famous. He's always he has a kind of an image that he's kind of has to uphold. Draymond, we know about Draymond and Clutch. We don't have to talk about him. But with Klay, the third guy of this, Klay is just Klay. And people are always going to resonate with people who are just people. And Klay is the most honest dude on the team. So when he does this weird dance on the boat, everybody, you don't even have to be a Warriors fan. It's just like, you know, this is the guy that you want to hang out with on the Warriors. That's the number one guy. It's not close. So, yeah, best victory lap that the Warriors have so far this offseason. I suppose.
Yeah, and still watching it all in your mind, you also see he gives you glimpses into his offseason workout regimen. You know, I think my favorite thing is he's self-aware that he did not play to the level that he wanted to. Like, both things can be true. We think what he did coming back from injury was really impressive. And also, he has it in him to be a better player than that.
I think so. I think, did I lose you, Sam, or just?
No, I'm right here.
Just paused. Okay. Because it feels like to me watching this game tonight that the off-ball stuff was the special part, right? The way that he moved off ball. I mean, also, we're going to talk about at some point the way how good that team was. That was the first year, the first KD year. So really, it's you just roll the ball out and they can kind of do whatever they want. So that was part of it too. But the off-ball stuff that Klay was doing was pretty remarkable. I feel like you don't ever lose that. I do feel like you lose that when you first come back off injury, fatigue, kind of that initial process of being back to yourself. But it doesn't feel like to me that's explosiveness. It doesn't feel like to me that shot in this game is going to leave him. I think he gets – that's why I'm so bullish on him.
I think it is – I actually think it is explosiveness. I think the difference between peak 2016-17 Klay, who we watched in that game, where he's just kind of able to get whatever shot up he wants, and maybe the guy we watched last year, is kind of that quickness moving off ball to get whatever shot you want. Like, it really is just a split second thing, but I think it's really just about like that little burst plus timing. Those are really the only things. Because like you watched Klay last year, in my opinion, he looked like Klay. He just looked like half step slower than the guy who was prior, right?
Half step slower, both offensively and defensively. I think it was pretty obvious. I think it was worse defensively, much worse defensively. I think offensively, the problem with him was just that I think he was trying to get acclimated to play with a brand new team. Pretty easy to play with guys like David West, Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala, Kevin Durant, Zaza, right? Just all great passers. I think he came back with a team that kind of he needed to figure out how to play with Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins. Just guys aren't passers, right? They're just a totally different type of ball game, totally different type of player. So to me, it feels like on offense he's going to get there. The question for me is defense. I don't know if he'll ever get back to, he's just going to lock down Damian Lillard like whenever he wants. He's just going to guard CJ McCollum and trail around screens all game. I don't know if he ever is going to do that again. But on offense, you asked a good question on the show. You know, how many times do you think he goes for 30, 40, 50 points next season? Like the Klay explosion, we didn't see that much last season. How many times are we going to see that next season? I think is exciting, because even though Steph is the best shooter on the team, I don't think there's a person in the NBA that gets as hot as Klay Thompson.
Yeah, that's the thing that it's fun watching these old Klay games where it's just like, it's automatic every time he touches it and that sort of thing. And I think he's going to have a few of those this year. I actually I do agree with you on the very basic point that, like, he thrives off chemistry. So the more games he plays with a Wiggins or a Poole, the better he's going to get, because, like, he's going to take those shots. But a lot of the stuff he does is really intuitive, like moving off the ball and that sort of stuff. So I think that part of it will just by nature get better. Like, he's always going to be a player who plays better when he has chemistry with guys than, like, he's not an ISO guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, can you imagine him playing with Kuminga and Wiseman in the same lineup? He might walk off the court and just go straight home and just pick up his bag and just say, hey, I'm good. I'm good. I don't need to watch these guys dribble one time and just shoot the rock for no reason again. but yeah, I think that point is big, which is why I think the Clay and Poole stuff is exciting. I know there are kind of jokes, or maybe not jokes, of people that are say that will say, like, oh, those guys don't really get along because one guy's a starter, the other guy wants a start. I don't know. I don't know how true that is, but I do think those guys are a perfect fit together, Jordan Poole and Clay. I think they are made for each other on the court. I think similar to how Steph and Clay are a perfect fit for each other. I think when you talk about bench units, because Clay has always been a bench unit guy, that spark plug in the second quarter, I think now you get Poole and Clay coming off the bench in the second quarter. I think that's exciting. Those are two guys that should play very well together.
Yeah, when you think about, like, asserting, like, Dante DiVincenzo or Moses Moody into the mix there, like, it's a lot of Warriors type of players. And friend of the show, Andrew Bogut, has always said, you know, the Warriors are playing well when Klay Thompson's going off. He said that, like, multiple times. And his point is, when the ball is popping, you'll find Klay. And Klay is not bashful about shooting it. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, if you have a bunch of passers on the team, Clay's going to be the biggest beneficiary of it. Like, Steph's like, you know, top five all time. It doesn't matter what's going on. He's going to do his thing, you know? Draymond and Wiggins, they know who they are as players. It's not really affected. But Clay is the guy who, if you find that right kind of, like, synergy, he could score 60 in three quarters. And that's really hard to do. Like, the amount of players who've scored 60 in three quarters in the NBA, like, the list is less than 10. That just, to put in perspective, like, we watched it. We love to talk about how explosive Clay is. But when you really think about it, like, the list of guys who've done it, it's like Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. I'm not really sure I can name another person off the top of my head who's done it in three quarters, honestly. That's, like, that's kind of the type of specialness we're talking about. And when the ball's popping, that's who Clay is.
You make a point about the Warriors players. Last year, they fixed that issue, right? They got rid of, or they essentially kind of let go of Oubre and Bazemore and didn't bother kind of bring those guys back because those guys didn't really know how to play basketball. And then they pick up a Bielitsa and Otto Porter and GP2 who pretty much perfectly play Warriors basketball. I think you get the same thing going this season, though. You brought up Dante DiVincenzo. That's a guy that knows how to play Warriors basketball, makes threes, good cutter. I don't know how much he can dribble, but good cutter, smart player, just your classic Villanova guy. And then you've got Moses Moody, who really is a classic Villanova guy. Just big Nova guy, and it always feels Fitz is gonna love him. Oh my, can we talk about Fitz for a second? He's gonna love Dante DiVincenzo. I mean, I don't know what he's gonna say. I know what exactly he's gonna say.
Coach's son. The first back cut he's going to make, the first screen he's going to make. That's a Warriors player. Moses Moody, to me, that's a Warriors player. Those are guys that are just going to fit with Clay. I think Jordan Poole has become a Warriors player. The dude works so hard his game. He's
Dante DiVincenzo, three-year college player.
Oh, my God. Jamichael Green, another Warriors player. So you go down the list, to me, it feels like the only guy that you can't really say a Warriors player yet are just the young players, because we don't know. We just don't know if those guys are smart enough to play the way that Steph and Clay and Draymond like to play, the way that's made them so successful, right? But that's the exciting part about next season, is that, man, you're gonna get those guys that play together again with chemistry, with those young kids. I mean, that's exciting. But yeah, watching that game kind of reminded me so much of how much that team played together. It felt so different. watching that team today. It felt so different versus what we watched last season. How often did we see Steph kind of go ISO or pick and roll in that game against Indiana? Everything was just so free flowing. And now you watch today's Warriors and it's exciting. There's just so much more on Steph. There's just so much more on Steph every possession versus what we saw then. But hey, that's how it is when KD's not on the team anymore, right? So
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So let me ask you this. So we watched some old Clay. We're talking about Clay in general. What are you specifically looking for from Clay Thompson coming into this year to let you know he's progressing?
I will be very, I don't want to say surprised, but I'm going to be pretty shocked if he comes and starts guarding ones and twos again. Does it mean that they're going to permanently move him into guarding threes and fours? Is he just going to be the guy that just guards Jaylen Browns now and Jason Tatum's, which is fine because I think he's got the size to do it. And it's not like Jaylen Brown's super quick side to side. So like, I think Clay's always been able to guard those guys, but is he only going to be able to guard those guys now? Or if the Warriors end up playing the Cavs, for example, it's a team that's top of mind right now, is Clay able to guard Donovan Mitchell and or Darius Garland? Like, that's something that I'm looking forward to, because if you've got teams and almost every team now has two very good playmakers, one guy Wiggins is going to guard, who's going to guard the other one? And is Clay going to do that? And that's something I don't know. Last we saw, he did a very good job on the Boston Wings near the end of the series. I thought he did a pretty good job in Jaw in game three, but wasn't very good in game one, right? So that's one guy. Luka, he struggled and then kind of figured it out. So can Clay kind of become that elite one-on-one assignment defender? I'd love to see it.
For me, the other thing is how he does guarding bigger guys. He's been pretty good at it in general in his career. Like, he's been more famous for guarding small guards. He's been more famous for, like, I got Dame, I got this, you know, that sort of thing. I think Jordan Poole's due for a big year. And I think by virtue of that, Clay's going to have to play more 3-4, which brings the question, can he change the game playing defense at those positions? I think he can. I think he has it in him. I think he's always been a physical defender, and he's better guarding guys physically than using quickness. But it'll be something I'm very curious to watch.
Really? To the Jordan Poole point, that's the one. The other thing you think about with the Warriors is kind of the closing lineups, right? Because is Clay going to be essentially long term playing four or playing three?
I was thinking the three, but yeah,
they might need him to play the four. Andrew Wiggins is perfect as the three. If you're going to close
with the five, man.
Yeah, I mean, they might need him to if you're going to close with Stephen Poole, right? I guess, you know, what do you do with that if Poole is going to have a big year? But again, we'll find this out months from now. But that's one guy where I don't think we're worried about it. I don't think I'm worried about Klay. It's just a matter of how good is he going to be? How much better is he going to be than last year? Because I think at the minimum, he's going to be a plus player. He's going to be probably 80% of who he was back then. But man, if he can get back to that guy. The other thing I'm looking at from Klay is how he's going to function in the offense. It seemed like he dribbled a lot more last season for no reason. I think part of that was chemistry, like we're talking about. Part of that,
he was playing with. A play gets broke off, and he's like, "Well, I got to make a play right now." That type of thing.
Yeah, that was a little nuts. But I think it was frustration. I think it was, hey, I'm not going to get the ball when I'm moving, so I might as well just kind of do what I need to do on the ball. That's not really his game. So I'm curious if he brings that back. I remember the funny stuff about him making passes and stuff like that. That's not really what we want to see from Klay, but I'm curious to see what happens there. But I think some of that just goes back to the longer you play with Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins, the better it's going to be. The Poole stuff is interesting that you talk about him having a big season. It's a lot of money on the table for him. A lot of money, depending on how good he's going to be next season.
Well, just being honest about it, look at the roster right now. Most of the roster seems situated to have Wiggins play the four and Draymond play the five in closing lineups. That's the way I'm looking at it. Like, unless you think Wiseman or Looney are closing games.
Looney.
Some, but I think they're going to go small a lot. And when they go small, I think it'll be Poole, but it could be Moses Moody. Could be another wing.
Steve Kerr will do that, right? Steve Kerr will go wing.
Yeah, all I'm saying is Klay's going to probably have to play up a position a little bit. And like that's kind of part of the reason Klay's great is it doesn't really matter. He's huge for a wing anyway. So I'm curious to see how it plays out because I think that they're going to have a little more versatility with the roster, but it does require Klay and honestly, it requires Klay and Wiggins to play up a position more than anyone. Like we're used to Draymond doing it. We're used to Steph doing it a little bit. It's got to be those guys who play up a position.
Yeah, that's the quandary that they had in the postseason is that they couldn't keep that Steph, Klay, Poole trio on the court. Even no matter how great it was offensively, they couldn't do it. But that's
in the regular season, though. I think they got away with it better in the playoffs than I expected. You know what I mean? So
did they get?
They did. They got a lot of minutes out of it. They got a lot
against Denver.
No, against everyone except for Boston. Honestly, a little bit.
I think they didn't want to go back to that lineup after Memphis.
I think they went to it early in every series and later in the series they avoided it. But that's the thing. Can you improve to play it more? You know? Clear the most talented lineup. And like a lot of it comes down to will Jordan Poole take steps on defense? Like that's the unspoken thing we're talking about right now. And by unspoken, I mean I just haven't been honest and like obvious about it. But like, will Jordan Poole improve defensively to make the lineup a little easier to play?
And I mean yes, and yes, because he's on the Donovan Mitchell ilk where you know it's not like Jordan Poole's a small guy. The dude's got enough size.
He can do better.
Exactly. He should be better. To your point, Wiggins has shown he can play the four. I mean, maybe he shouldn't be banging against your Cats or Jaren Jackson's every night, but he's shown that he can play the four in big moments. And then to your point with Klay, I think he can play the four. I've seen him guard Kevin Love in the NBA Finals one-on-one. He should be able to get rebounds when he wants to do it. How often do you want to do that in the regular season? Because it's a long season, maybe not long, but also – like you said, that's your most talented five, but I'd argue that it's not the best fit. It's not the best fitting five because I do think
you just Kevon Looney. Looney's not.
Kevon Looney is freaking good. It's insane how impactful he was the last two and a half series in the postseason. It was insane. So, you know, maybe that was a fluke. I don't know. But regardless, they're going to play so much Steph, Poole, Clay lineups, even in non-crunch time. I think all of this doesn't even matter. They're going to play so much of that in the regular season. We're going to see how good it is with those three guys.
All right, let me ask you this before we open it to the goons. Klay Thompson, how good will he be this year? Will this be relative to previous seasons? Is this your – what do you expect to see from Klay? Will he be an all-star this year?
I think he's going to be an all-star. I do.
Ooh.
I think part of it is –
Is it because Donovan Mitchell moved east?
Donovan Mitchell. Love the trade, by the way. Maybe we should talk about that for 5 minutes later on. I think part of it's going to be, hey, he's back. He's back. He's come back from two injuries. He just won a championship. He's Klay Thompson. He's going to be an all-star. That's part of it. The second part of it is I do think the more I really think about it, the more you hear about Klay, he is going to be back to who he was before. It really is. We keep saying, and I keep worrying about if he's going to guard the small guards, but that doesn't matter when people talk about all-star. And I do think he's just going to be back to that player who he was before. It reminds me of the guy that he's playing right next to him. We think Steph Curry's going to have – Dude, you bring up the Niners again. I'm walking off the set like I was watching a Jim Rome clip the other day. Of old Jim Rome getting punched by I forget what that quarterback's name is, but Jim Rome was goading him on. Anyway, that's who it was. That's what the clip was.
Chris Everett?
Yeah, maybe you sent it to me. I thought it was great. Classic Rome, dude. Steph's going to be 35, and we think he's going to be the best player in the world. Why can't Klay do that, right? Klay's bigger. Klay's healthy. He's a shooter. He doesn't rely on explosiveness. He's never a guy. He's not Russell Westbrook out there. He's not James Harden. James Harden can't move. That's not what we're expecting from Klay, right? So I think those two guys are going to age. We've always said those two guys are going to age amazingly. And by believing that, that makes you believe that he's going to be as good as he was before. Maybe I don't think he'll ever get back to 2019 against Toronto, best player on the floor type of thing. But, you know, I think that's as close as you can get to where Klay was before injury.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm somewhere in the middle. I think he's going to be really effective, but I need to see it a little more. But with that said, I want to ask you, do you think Klay scores 50 again next year?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, he's going to score 50 because part of Klay's thing is that he gets so insanely hot when he's in rhythm. And it never felt like to me he was in rhythm. To you, did it ever feel like to you he was in rhythm when he came back? In a couple games, Eddie.
He's working through it. Yeah.
That's a big game. Game 6, Klay. And he had some good regular season games.
Ooh, in the chat, he's saying he's going to get 50 on ring night. It would not shock me if Klay opened the season on just an isn't that kind of the thing with Klay? Would it surprise you if he scored 52 on opening night? No. Would it surprise you if he was cold for the first 20 games of the season, figuring it out? No. You know,
you've seen that.
That kind of speaks to just the talent level where you're just like, I can't really react to it either way because I know he's got like insane shot making ability in him.
And I think I just thought about this. The reason why I always believe in it is we saw him in that Boston series struggle and he hit the biggest game of the – you could argue he hit the biggest game of the series. You can't argue who the best player was. It was Steph Curry by far. Best game, Steph Curry by far. Best performance, etc. But you can argue that Klay hit the biggest shot of that series on a pass by Steph, by the way, who was doubled at half court, right over Robert Williams with about – 3 minutes left to go in game 4 when the Warriors have been down the entire game and Klay comes down and he's ice cold and he just pops a three and he just goes, all right. And the Warriors are up one. And you and I sat there and I think all Warriors fans sat there. One, you knew that shot was going in because it's Klay. And two, you knew that fucking game was over. You knew that fucking game was over when he hit that shot, because they weren't going to lose that 1-point lead. They had taken 3.5 quarters to get that lead. And the moment Klay shot that shot, and you're just like, that's Klay. That's freaking Klay. That's Klay. He struggled so bad in the first game of that series. You're just sitting there, first two games, you're sitting there like, dude, are the Warriors screwed? And he hits the biggest game in the series. This guy's insane. He makes no sense.
Yeah, for sure. That is a factual statement. Got one other question here. I like this one before we move to the callers from Holden. The real question is, how many wins for the Toxic Suns this year?
No, that one's for you. That one's for you. That's your team.
It's my team. I mean, they're gonna win 52 games, and they're gonna be mediocre. Let's be real. They weren't good to begin with. That's where I'm at. All right. Let's open this to callers. We'll keep moving. Get Aaron up here. Aaron, what's up, my man?
Yo, 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 guys. What's more likely? Klay or Steph getting 15 threes this season? Steve Kerr recently came out and said that they're playing with house money to let it rip. And maybe he gets a change in his coaching style and says, fuck it. Let's go for the records. Because he's kind of been coaching them as though how he was coached. And that's kind of low-key not the best on Steph and Klay. So if they're going to let it rip, is 15 in a game more likely to happen? Ooh. Or a 70-piece from Steph?
Oh, my God. I mean, that might happen in the same fucking game.
First off, if Steph hits 16 threes and doesn't push 70, I'm just confused. But but yeah, okay. Those are great questions from Aaron. So I want to, Andy, I'm gonna ask you this: more likely to hit 15, Steph or Klay?
Steph.
I might go Klay.
I think.
Klay's more likely to go nuclear. Two, I don't think teams can trap him to stop taking him the way. Like when Steph hits like 10 in a row, you see teams like
throw five guys at him.
Get the popcorn vendors out there. Like, no, we can't let him. It's a weird ego thing. You know what I mean? Whereas like with Klay, they're like, oh, it's fine.
Klay also takes crazier shots than Steph. We watch Klay tonight hit a shot where he's running baseline and he has his left shoulder pointed to the out of bounds, the side out of bounds, and he just turns back over his right shoulder, falling the other way towards the bench and shoots a three and makes it because he's Klay without dribbling the ball. Versus Steph. Steph shoots crazy threes. He always will. But Steph always shoots in rhythm. Even if they're crazy, they're in rhythm. He puts a shimmy, he goes dribble crossover, or he does a head, or it does a step back or something like that. With Klay, it's just it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. I could go left shoulder, right shoulder. I could be falling down. I could be jumping sideways. It doesn't matter. It's going up.
Yeah. All right. 70 piece. Who's the most likely player to get 70? Kuminga, I got you.
Big Jimmy.
Stop.
Who's the most likely award to get 70?
Jordan Poole. That's a sneaky guy. That's a sneaky guy, right? That's a guy where I would think, huh, he might. Because if you think he's going to have a big year, he's the guy that's going to be able to get a shot off whenever he wants if he's playing next to Steph and Klay. I mean, that's part of the – I mean, I keep going back to the Milwaukee Bucks, man. We saw the Milwaukee Bucks play this pretty insane defensive scheme where they just put two guys on Steph the whole game. And all Klay and Poole did was, you know, we're just going to shoot wide open shots and not miss today. And they won that game going away. So I think that's a sleeper pick. I think Jordan Poole is a sleeper pick to go for. Maybe not 70. But I think he's going to have his fair share of pretty explosive offensive games, especially if you think he's going to make a leap, which I know you think he is.
Oh, I do. I do. Yeah. No, it's a fair point. And when you think about it, who's the player Steve Kerr is most likely to keep in the fourth quarter with a blowout going on? Also Jordan Poole.
That's a good point.
So, you know, there's a decent chance. I like it. 70 is a little aggressive, but I might throw a bet on Poole getting a 50 piece this
year. Yeah, 50 piece makes sense. I think that's logical.
Yeah.
I think there's a I think there could be a couple big Kuminga games. I think that's kind of another guy that I think is, you know, the more I think about this offseason, the more I do think if there's going to be a guy that makes a Jordan Poole-ish type of leap, it is Kuminga. He's had a pretty disappointing offseason thus far, pretty disappointing summer league. The Congo stats don't look great. His, you know, the Warriors players always have some snide remarks to say about him, but I do think that's the one guy that has the potential to make that leap as a player where all of a sudden we're looking at Kuminga the season after next and we're saying, holy shit, this guy's going to be a star. That's the guy. That's obvious, though. We all knew that.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're gonna have to wait and see. Where I'm at right now is we are, Andy Liu, we are less than 10 days away from NBA camp starting. And I think I'm gonna leave it here. I think we're gonna have to wait. Oh, go for it, man.
No, I was just looking at the schedule because, you know, I'm a last second type of guy. I had no idea. I knew that the Warriors were playing in Japan, but it's a 3 a.m. West Coast start, Samuel. So I expect you and everyone in here that are listening to be watching that game on playback with Sam live.
We're doing a 3 a.m. watch along. It's about to be. You know what? I was gonna give everyone a week before I was ready to spring it on them, but we're doing it 3 a.m. We're logging on. We're watching this game together.
Oh man, I can't wait. So hey, we appreciate everyone. Couple watch parties left of the last. Couple replays left. Everyone subscribe.
And we're gonna get into it preseason. Appreciate everyone. You know, we're getting there. We're ramping up. We're getting there, Andy. It's almost time, man. Dude, watching these Clay games, I just get excited. I get excited about what could be on the season. But another week of lost bets because I lost the Survivor Pool week one.
You did it.
The Broncos.
You did. Oh man.
I put my money on the Broncos. What a dumb fucking decision.
That's right. I'm alive, baby. I got my Lamar Jackson Ravens. I'm ready to go.
I was saving that pick because I'm.
I know.
Yeah. Tell me who you got.
Easy. Joe Burrow comeback game against the Dak Prescott Lisp Cowboys. I'm going all the way.
You care a lot?
All right. Appreciate it, everyone.